Lord, say amen.
Amen.
If God has been good to you, say amen.
Amen.
The Lord has allowed us all to be here for one reason, and that's to worship him in spirit and in truth. For we know that the Bible tells us that they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Church, I tell you, it is indeed an honor, a blessing, and a privilege to be with the Great Heart Street congregation. It has been a long time since I've had the opportunity to come over and be with you and speak here, but there have been opportunities to come and worship with you all that I've taken advantage of. I want to thank Brother Prowl, the eldership over here, for allowing me to come over and speak this morning and for having confidence in me to speak the word of God. Also, I had an opportunity to speak to your minister early this morning, and we talked for about 10 minutes or so, and he's down in Las Cruces, Mexico. So let us be very thoughtful and prayerful for him this morning, as well as on his safe return as he journeys back home. Church, I'm going to get to the point this morning. So if you open up your Bibles to Exodus chapter 13, starting at verse 17, and as you are getting there, I have two beautiful young ladies with me this morning. I have my wife, Latika, who travels with me. She told her father when she was a teenager, I heard she told her father that she never wanted to marry a minister. And then we got married and I started preaching. And so I waited to after because... So now she's married to a minister, but she is an outstanding wife, and I have a very lovely 7-year-old daughter, Kendall, that loves the Lord very, very much. Last week we had softball practice. I'm her softball coach, and so we had a practice on Saturday, and I got home, and she was looking all depressed. I said, "What's wrong?" And Mama spoke up and said, "Well, she was saying that she didn't plan on going to practice today because she was going to go to the ladies' day." How can you make a child go to practice over a ladies' day? I said, "Well, you don't have to practice today. You're released from practice today to go to the ladies' day." Word of God, Exodus chapter 13. The Bible tells us, starting in verse 17, "And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness. The Red Sea and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth and encamped in Etham in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night." Church, this morning, for a moment of time, I want you to be very thoughtful with me on the topic of lessons learned in my wilderness. Lessons learned in my wilderness. Church, I want to let you know that regardless of who you are or what state you find yourself in, there are situations that you will be faced with, situations that you will be challenged with, situations that will press you to your limits, situations that will give you the mindset that I'm just ready to give up. I don't know about you, church, but sometimes I just want to give up. Sometimes I want to quit. Sometimes I just get tired of being sick and tired. Sometimes I get tired of doing the same thing the same way and expecting a different result. Well, church, I'm here to tell you that God has provided not only for me, but for you a wilderness. And in that wilderness, God is trying to teach you something in the midst of the circumstances that you are dealing with. God is trying to teach you patience. God is trying to give you some peace. God is trying to give you strength. God is trying to give you comfort. God is trying to give you access to a power that can overcome anything that you're dealing with in your life. The Bible tells us, Paul says it this way. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. You have to be willing, church, to rid yourself of you, to come in contact with a life-saving power that can help you deal with whatever you're dealing with in your life. Paul says, and unto him who is able, watch this, to do exceedingly abundantly above those things that we ask or think. Now, church, that is good enough. But watch this. According to the power that worketh in you. Church, you have to rid yourself of yourself so the power of God can live in you, so that God can do exceedingly abundantly above those things that you ask or think. See, church, when you're in your wilderness, you will find that God is testing you. God is testing you, but Satan is tempting you. See, God understands that you have access to a power that can help you overcome the things that you're going to deal with. But what Satan is doing, he is tempting you to say that I know that they're not going to utilize this power because they think they are strong enough. See, your wilderness is meant for you to understand that you are not strong enough. Your wilderness is meant to show you that you are insufficient. Your wilderness teaches you that you are incapable of doing it by yourself. Your wilderness shows you that you're going to fall if you don't have Christ on your side. So these Israelites, the Bible says that Pharaoh let the Israelites go, and we all know the story. But there's some points in this story that I feel like it's helpful to all of us. You know, last night we had a tailgate party. We decided this year, we said, well, let's have a 40th Avenue Church of Christ tailgate experience. And so all of our church members, we came together and we had an excellent time together. But many of our church members today are dealing with the after effects of circumstances that they dealt with yesterday. Unfortunately, in these times, you can't go out and have good, wholesome family fun anymore. In these times, you can't go out and not have fear that you may not return back to your house. We had members that were close to the shooting at the parade. We have youth that say that it went to the parade for the first time and said that they're never going back again. It was just scary. It had shootings at the game last night, in the parking lot where everybody was tailgating at. It is just totally ridiculous. But see, this is nothing more than a wilderness. See, Satan wants us to give up, and he wants us to come in these church walls. He wants us to shut the door and to hide ourselves and not allow anyone to come in contact with the life-saving grace of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Church, we can't be scared. We can't give up. We continuously have to have a backbone and go out into the world and show a good example. Paul says to Timothy, he says, you were not given a spirit of timidity. He said, you were not given a spirit of fear, but you were given a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of sound mind. See, in your wilderness, you need that power. In that wilderness, you need that love. In that wilderness, you need that sound mind. So as the Israelites were leaving Egypt, the Bible tells us that they didn't go through the land of the Philistines because God knew something about them that they didn't know about yourself. Church, when you don't feel like that your blessings are coming fast enough, know that God knows something about you that you don't know about yourself. Maybe God is saying that it's not time for you to receive this blessing. Maybe God is saying that you're not equipped at this point to deal with a blessing that's so good, so you have to go through a wilderness right now. Maybe God is saying you're not strong enough. You're not the man or woman that I would have you to be at this point. So I'm going to continue to work on you. And as I work on you, some things are going to be purged from your life. Church, do you understand that you have to do a purge, have to have a purging process in your life? See, a wilderness, if we look at what the word literally means, your wilderness is a position of disfavor. Your wilderness is an uninhabited area or region. Your wilderness is a place that challenges you to the core. Your wilderness is a place that weakens you. Is a place that you realize that my power is not sufficient. And when you realize that your power is not sufficient, then your wilderness has served its purpose. God wants you and I to understand that you are not sufficient. Your power is not sufficient. Your intellect is not sufficient. Your intelligence is not sufficient. Your bank account is not sufficient. The way you dress is not sufficient. The education that you have is not sufficient. How great your children are is not sufficient. The way you drive is not sufficient. When you understand that all of those things are not sufficient, then God has your ear. See, the Bible tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 5, the Bible says to trust in the Lord. The only way you and I trust in the Lord is when we realize that what we have is not sufficient. When I think I'm all that I am and I'm better than you are, then I feel like I have a leg up. If I have a leg up, then what Rod has is sufficient, and Rod will not submit to the will of God because I am sufficient. Rod is incorrect, and Jesus will bring you to your knees in your wilderness. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Church, I tell you, in your wilderness, it's what I call a blurry eye syndrome. See, God will help you with your blurry eye syndrome in the wilderness. See, until you see how God would have you to see, you will never see. Until you see a situation or circumstance for what it really is, you will never see. Until you see through the lens of God and have the same perspective that God has, you will never get the results from a situation that God would have you to have. See, many of us have blurry eye syndrome. You know what blurry eye syndrome is? I see how I want to see, when I want to see, and I don't see how the word of God sees it, because if I see it how the word of God sees it, then that means I have to say that the way I'm living, the way I'm walking, the way I'm talking is wrong. And I'm not wrong. I'm right. They wrong. See, in your wilderness, God helps to clear up your vision. In your wilderness, he helps you to see clear. You know, there's a song out there. When I was young, I would hear it all the time on TV. I can see clearly now that what? Help me out. Now that the rain is gone, I can see clearly now. Now that I have purged myself of myself, I can now see clearly. And now that I'm seeing clearly, God is doing something through me in my life, and people are being blessed. But through your wilderness, as the Israelites left, Egypt. They didn't go through the land of the Philistines, because God knew that if they deal with this challenge at this point, that they're going to fall short. They're going to repent and go back to Egypt. See, God is not allowing you to deal with stuff in your life, in certain periods of your life, because he knows that you're not ready to deal with those situations. There's not one thing that angers me more than trying to get somewhere on time and the plane don't get you there on time. Have you ever been on a plane, church, and the captain comes on and he lets you know that you are circling the runway? See, you are circling the runway because the pilot has not been cleared to land. The pilot hasn't been cleared to land because he understands and has knowledge that you don't have. See, he has someone on the ground that can see all the congestion on the runway on the ground. And if he lands that plane right now, it's going to be a wreck and many people will probably die. Well, guess what? Jesus is our pilot. See, in our life, sometimes Jesus allows us to go in a circling pattern. Circling pattern. The runway is not clear. Circling pattern. How many years did the Israelites circle the wilderness? 40 years. They had to go in a circling pattern because they were not ready to inherit the promised land because Jesus had to rid them of their self. See, sometimes Jesus has to allow you to be purged of your old attitudes to get a new blessing. Oh, you can't get new blessings with an old attitude. You can't get a blessing and you selfish. You can't get a new blessing and you not following the word of God. You can't be blessed if you a person is evil. God has to purge that evilness out of you. God is saying, I'm working in these Israelites. So as he worked in the Israelites, we know that they circled around the wilderness for 40 years for their disobedience. And we know everyone of military age and above, they had to die off. So in your wilderness, God is teaching you something. That's why in your wilderness, you have to see clearly. You have to look at those that have come before you and learn a lesson from them that you can apply to your life so that you can be a better servant unto the Lord. See, we know the Israelites were not happy. God gave them manna from heaven. Now, if that's not good enough, you know, I'm just glad to get bread raining down from heaven when I'm angry. But you know how we get sometimes. Lord, this ain't good enough. I used to eat ramen noodles, but then I got a little job. Just let somebody put some ramen noodles in front of me. I don't need no ramen noodles. That's 10 cents a pack. I at least got to have a $10 meal. See, that's how we get. We get above ourselves, don't we? I don't eat no Spam no more. I don't eat sardines anymore. I don't want none of that. I want something that's good. So that's what the Israelites are saying. They said, I don't want that manna from heaven. It was good for a minute, but we want something else. So God said, okay, so now I'm going to give you some quail. And I'm going to give you so much that you're going to vomit out of your nostrils because I am tired of you. That's what God was really saying. He said, I'm tired of all of your complaining. You getting all these things and you not doing anything for them. They continue to complain. They were in that circling pattern in the wilderness. And the Bible tells us that he led them in verse 21, went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead the way. He says, in spite, watch this, in your wilderness, in spite of who you are, God is still going to be who he is. God cannot tell a lie, will not tell a lie. And God will not be any different yesterday than he is today, than tomorrow, from his true character. And his character is that he has compassion on those who are down and out. He has compassion on those who have a need. He has compassion on those who are destitute in their situations. He has compassion. He had compassion on these individuals in spite of who they were. So he led them by the pillar of a cloud during the day. And he led them by night in a fire before the people to lead and to protect them. So let's get down to our point for today, church. Our wilderness
it assists us in our further development. I hate to say it, but I don't like the way that God develops me. Don't tell the truth, church. I know that don't sound right coming from a preacher, but it's true. I don't like to have to deal with difficult situations all the time. I don't like for people not to like me because I'm trying to stand for the right thing. I don't like having to go into people's house and sit down with them and tell them they're wrong. And you in their house. This is my house. You ain't paying no bills here. See, you have to realize when you go on a person's turf, you have to come correct with a spirit of love because you already know they defensive. And you know how pictures are painted. Sometimes the story is really not the true story. Sometimes the conversation y'all had is really not the conversation that you had. And you have to have 10 conversations to correct one conversation that you had. But see, God is developing me in that wilderness. And God is developing you in your wilderness as well. So this wilderness is nothing more. It's meant for further development. In this wilderness, God is giving you traits that you need to be successful for the kingdom. God is equipping you with the spiritual tools that you need to fight the good fight of faith. But what other way are you going to be accustomed to using those good spiritual tools of warfare if God doesn't allow you to be placed in a war? God has to allow you to be submerged in the midst of circumstances, in the midst of tragedy, in the midst of challenges, so that he will see how you respond. See, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy chapter 8, he says that this was meant to prove you. This was meant to test you. This was meant to see what was in your heart. See, God wants to see what's in a man's heart. I tell you, churches, it is so easy to say, I am blessed and highly favored. The Lord is good and he's raining down on my life. But oh, when circumstances come your way, sometimes that blessed and highly favored goes out the window, don't it? Sometimes we go back to who we were before we were Christian. Sometimes we get to saying words that we shouldn't be saying. You say, I don't say it. Well, you're thinking. So is a man thinking in his heart. So is he. So that just means you hadn't purged yourself of you. See, if you purge yourself of you when circumstances come that way, you know how to pray unto God. You know how to ask God for guidance and for assistance in the midst of your situation. So God is trying to further develop you. See, the wilderness is meant, it's a transitionary period. God is transitioning you from where you are to where he would have you to be. And in this transitionary period, you're in a valley. You're in a holding state. And what happens is, church, many of us like comfort. Don't you like comfort? I like to know what's going to happen. Don't you? You know, a couple of weeks ago, we had a man that visited, a member of the church, and, you know, he had some things going on in his life. He talked to me about it. We talked about it, and he was passing through. And so I did something that I usually don't do. I allowed him to, he wanted to talk to the congregation after worship. His mom was going through a lot of things. I mean, he just had a very dismal situation going on. So a couple of people stayed, and he talked. Now, I tell you what, see, that's that transitionary period. See, because I like to know what's going to happen. What we talked about is not what happened. See, he didn't say the things that we talked about. And he changed the script on me. And he changed the script on me and started to beg the congregation for money. And I said, oh, Lord. I said, because now I got to have some more conversations because of what I did. See, I like to know what's going to happen, church. We all like to know what's going to happen. That's a place of comfort. You like to know that you invite a preacher in. They're going to get up here and preach the word of God that can be found in Scripture. They're not going to say anything to the left or to the right. They're going to stay on the line. And if they don't stay on the line, you're going to have to get uncomfortable, right? Because you're going to have to stand up and tell their brother, do what? Sit down. All right, amen. So we like a place of comfort. But see, that transitionary period, it takes you out of your place of comfort. God takes you from where you are, and he plants you somewhere that is very uncomfortable. Remember, a wilderness is an uninhabited place. It is a desolate place. And God is planting you, and he wants you to grow in your wilderness because God is trying to humble you in your wilderness. He's trying to grow you in your wilderness, and he's trying to provide you traits because he's already working in your tomorrow. And remember, these Israelites that were circling the wilderness for 40 years, God already knew that they were going to inherit Canaan, didn't he? So in those 40 years, he was preparing them. And God said, you can't go in Canaan with these old attitudes. You can't go to Canaan acting like that Pharaoh has given you all that you need, that Pharaoh was better than a slice of bread. He said, oh, no. I want you to know where your blessings came from. And until you learn where your blessings came from, I'm going to keep you in a circling pattern because you have not developed the way I want you to develop. See, if you haven't developed, when people say, oh, that was a nice thing you did, oh, thank you. We have a way of saying thank you, which is a great thing, but we don't give glory to God. God is saying, I want all the glory. He says, if I be lifted up from the earth, that I'll bring all men unto me. So we're in this transitionary period. And in this transitionary period, we begin to appreciate the promise. As I transition, I can appreciate God more. See, look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 with me for a second. See, as I am transitioning, as these Israelites were transitioning, the Bible says in verse 2, and thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee. So I led you in this wilderness because I wanted to humble you. I wanted you to know where your blessings came from. I wanted you to know that it's not Pharaoh that blessed you. It's not Pharaoh that led you. It's me that led you. And I want you to know that I needed to humble you. And guess what? Sometimes humbling, when God humbles you, he has to remove people out of your life. God had to remove some mamas and daddies out of these children's lives. They had to die off. God had to remove some leaders from the Israelites because they were not true leaders. They had to die off. So I tell you, church, there are going to be people that God removed from your life in your transitionary period because those people are holding you back and they only assist you to have the blurry eye syndrome. You know how you know people. You talk to them. They don't see the good in anything. You like, you know this happened. Well, I don't even know they did that to you. I wouldn't let them talk to me like that. Why you, I wouldn't even go to worship over there. See, in that transitionary period, we have to purge ourselves. We have so many church hoppers around here. They're going to be at every church in Nashville. Get somewhere and sit down. Get somewhere and sit down. There's problems everywhere you go because you're going to be everywhere you go. You the problem. If you're going everywhere, you are the problem. You got to tell people that sometimes. I told somebody, I said, if you keep on moving, you the problem. If every congregation in Nashville is the problem, you must be the problem. That's a different topic. Let me keep on moving. And thou shalt remember all the way which I led thee for these 40 years to humble thee and to prove thee. I want to test you. I want to see what's in your heart. To know what is in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee. Now watch this. And suffered thee to be hungry. Now watch what God will do. God will suffer you to be hungry. And then he will feed you. Isn't that amazing? God will take away your means to make an income. But you still won't miss a meal. That's a good God. I tell you, when Tika and I, when we got married, we went on a honeymoon, and my sister called me and was trying to be nice. I got a good big sister. She came on. She said, "Well, where's y'all's insurance information?" And I said, why you need to know that? She said, "Well, I'm just trying to organize some things for y'all so when you get back, you don't have to worry about things." And you know me, I think. I said, "Why she need the insurance information?" I said, "No." I said, "Why you need?" She said, "I'm trying to organize some things." And I said, "Why do you need it?" She said, "Listen, you fool." She said, "Your whole house is flooded. I'm trying to get this taken care of." I said, "Oh, okay." But see, the whole house, I mean, it flooded. I mean, drywall, it was a mess. And so we got back home, and we had to stay with my mother and father-in-law for a little while. And you know, we got the repairs done, but the insurance company didn't cover all they needed to cover. So we had to spend some of our own money. When we spent our own money, my brother, we had a couple of dollars left in the bank. And you know, we never were hungry. And I'm sorry, I'm a little prideful as well, and I said, "Don't you go over there and ask your daddy for nothing." I said, we got this. We just got married. He don't need to be thinking I can't take care of you. So we were eating grilled cheese sandwich. We were eating ramen noodles. We were eating sardines. We were going over brothers and sisters in Christ's house to spirit of hospitality and eating and taking home to go place. But we made it through. So guess what? God took all of those things away from us. He wanted to do something. In the beginning of our marriage, he wanted to humble us and wanted us to have our eyes on him. He said, "I don't care how much money you make on your job. It can all be taken away and watch you provide for you." Didn't miss a meal. So he suffered us to hunger, and he fed us manna from heaven, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. Now watch this. This is the point I want to stick on for 1 second. The Bible says, "Thy raiment wax not old." Church, thy raiment wax not old. So guess what? While you're going through your wilderness, you still look good. What the Bible says, when you go through your wilderness, don't go through your wilderness with your head down. Don't go through your wilderness complaining. Go through your wilderness with your head up, with your back, with your chest sticking out, and walk around. Let people know that in spite of what I'm going through, I still serve a good God that's working through the midst of my wilderness. And I tell you, I'm going to look good in my wilderness, but I'm going to look even better when I come out of this wilderness. So these individuals, they were in that wilderness for 40 years. The Bible says that thy raiment waxed not old. Now, y'all know what that means? They walked around for 40 years in the same clothes, and the clothes still look just as good when they walked first day in the wilderness. 40 years later, they still look good. Their shoes wasn't talking. They didn't have shoes back then, but you know, I'm just saying. See, y'all going there, y'all said, "They had shoes?" Yeah, they had Nikes back then. Now, no, they didn't have Nikes, young people. They were barefoot. But look, in that same way, the Bible says, "Neither did thy feet swell for 40 years. I don't know about y'all. I can be on these feet for 40 minutes in these church shoes and not broken in, and these things don't be swelling. They're going to be swelling. They're going to throb. They're going to hurt. But for 40 years, while they were in the midst of their wilderness, they still looked just as good when they went in while they were going through the wilderness. God is teaching you something. He says, "Why I am teaching you a lesson. You don't have to look like you're downcast. Why I am teaching you a lesson, you should still look good. Why I'm teaching you this lesson, you can still assist and help others because I am growing you for something that is much better." See, church, your wilderness is meant to give you some wisdom. God is trying to provide you an opportunity and a platform to apply the knowledge that you have in your life. And he provides us circumstances that presses our back up against the wall that will somebody talking to you about the word of God and you didn't know that you knew as much as you knew until you start talking about the word of God and you start talking about passages and you get finished, you walk away and say, whoo, that was good. You know, but guess what? That was God. That was God working in the midst of you because you already went through your wilderness and he purged you of you. And when he purged you of you, he started to give you that engrafted word that is able to save your soul. So it's deep down in your soul. And when you need it, it comes up out of your soul because so is the man thinketh. And we know what you have on the inside is going to come on the outside. So it's in you. God is saying that wilderness is meant to put something in you. And once I put it in you, no one can take it out. You may not use it as frequently, but once it's in you, it's in you. This wilderness is going to help you to become wise. It's going to help you to overcome weariness. Many of us get weary when we go through things. Paul says it this way in Galatians 6 and 9. He says, do not be weary in well-doing, for you shall reap if you faint not. Don't get weary in doing well. Don't get weary in going through the midst of situations and think that you don't have anything to offer good to the world. God has something far better for you to offer, and just do it. You are a bondservant. The Bible says, I beseech you, therefore, my brother, for God to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice. This is your reasonable act of service. It's reasonable for you to offer your body as a living sacrifice. You haven't gone above and beyond. You've only done what you were supposed to do. And guess what, Christians? We're supposed to go the second mile anyway. Did you know back in biblical days when the Roman soldiers had their artillery, did you know that they could walk up and see a Jew and they could give them their stuff, and they had to carry them out? That was a lot. That was a lot. Say, stop doing what you're doing. Here's my stuff. I want you to carry it for the next mile for me. That's their reasonable act of service. So our wilderness teaches us how to go that first mile. But guess what? As you transition, it teaches you that, guess what? I'm not only going to go this first mile with you. We're going to go the second mile as well. We're going to go the third mile together. We're going to go the fourth mile together because I realize my wilderness says Rod is not all about you. Rod is about God. Rod is going to take more time than you want it to take. Rod, people had to work with you when you were knucklehead. People had to talk with you. People came and visited with you when you didn't want to come to worship. People called you all the time. People invited you over to the house. It took a long time. But that wilderness, it transitions you. That wilderness, it gives you worth. My wilderness helps me understand that I have more value in God's eyes than I have in my own eyes. When I give up on myself, God just fights harder. When I say I'm nothing, God says you're everything. When I say I hate myself, God says I love you. When I say I don't deserve grace, God says I'm going to give you some grace and some mercy. See, God is teaching us and he is shaping us in our wilderness into the man and woman that he would have us to be so that we could dispel those same things to those who are in need. And lastly, our wilderness, it helps us to have true worship. When you've gone through your wilderness, I tell you what, it's nothing like coming to worship on Sunday morning. It's nothing like coming here and seeing your brothers and sisters in Christ. It's nothing more than nothing like hearing a word of God and it pricks you and it touches your soul. And sometimes you might just scream out because God is working something in your life that is very special. See, Paul and Silas, when they were in that prison in Acts chapter 16, they found themselves in a wilderness. But in their wilderness, the Bible says they began to sing and pray. Oh, I tell you, when you have the grace of God reigning over your life,
Sometimes you'll do things in the midst of situations that you don't know why you're doing it. You begin to sing and pray while you're in prison and you're being beaten because you understand that I'm doing it for the cause of Christ. I have a God that is so good. And I know if my God brought me to this situation, he's going to bring me through this situation and he's going to take me out of this situation. Oh, church, we serve a good God. So know that going through your wilderness, God is teaching you something. God is humbling you. He is proving you. And he wants to see what is in your heart. I want to end in the book of Jeremiah this morning. Look at Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 11. Jeremiah. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. We have the people of God that are in prison, the people of God that are enslaved. The prophet Jeremiah is speaking. God is speaking through this prophet. Now listen to this. He said, after 70 years, you will be visited. And he says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you. When you're going through your wilderness, you have to understand and you have to have clear vision that God has good thoughts, clear thoughts, great thoughts, perfect thoughts to perfect you in the midst of the situation that you're going through. That wilderness is meant for something. And we have to see this situation as a glass half full. God knows more about this than I know about this. And I know that I have a God that's a good God. So I'm going to trust in the Lord with all my heart. And I'm not going to lean on my own understanding, but I'm going to lean on him. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace. And not of evil, to give you an expected end. Don't that sound good? God has an expected end for you. But if you're going to receive it, you got to go through something. He has to refine you. That refining process is to make me into the man, make me into the woman that God would have me to be so I can inherit heaven, receive that promise. Then shall you call upon me. And ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will listen or hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Your wilderness is meant for nothing else but to pull you closer to your maker. As we think about our wilderness, church, that wiles, it comes from a Greek word, methodia. You have to be aware of the scheme of the devil. The devil has a scheme for you and I. And the devil wants to take us down in our wilderness because he understands that their wilderness is refining us to be the people that has a purpose of God. And if we have the purpose of God in our heart, then we have the promise of God to receive and to obtain. Church, be very aware of the schemes of the devil. Don't have that blurry eye syndrome that we talked about. Don't be a self-made woman, a self-made man. Because you said that, you're already lying and the truth is not in you. Have to remember that everything you have is from the Lord. When you look in the mirror and like what you see, you got to remember the Lord blessed you with that. You ain't done nothing. The Lord blessed you with that. The Lord has blessed us with all that we have. And he continues to refine us. He's refining us because he's not happy with the status quo. I always say, it's a sin to be good when we serve a great God. God has not called us to be good. He's called us to be great. So where are you at right now, church? In your wilderness. Where are you at in your walk? Do you find yourself battling situations day in and day out? Do you feel like just giving up? Do you come to worship on Sunday morning just because you know you're supposed to be here, but you really don't want to be here? Are you struggling with your job? Are you struggling with family? Do you just not know which way to go? I think we've all been there before. And I think we all have our circumstances and situations that we're struggling and we're fighting with. It's just like Paul. Paul says, you know, the things I want to do, I don't do. But the things I hate to do, that I do. Paul says, it's sin in me, and oh, what a wretched man I am. Well, guess what? There's medicine for your wretchedness. There's some medicine for your sin. There's hope for your state of hopelessness. There is peace for your lack of understanding. And one person I can offer you today is King Jesus. I may not understand your situation, because my situation may cloud myself from understanding your situation. But oh, we serve a great God that loves you, a great God that cares for you, a great God that wants to usher support and resources to you right now. So don't leave today. Don't leave the same way that you came in. I know. I've been there before. Y'all, you know in a moment, I'm going to tell you how to become a Christian. You know that. You know a song is going to be sung. The invitation is offered. You know that. And you know you need the Lord, but you're going to stay in your seat. You're not going to give it over to the Lord because you're walking in your wilderness and you don't want anybody to know that you're struggling with stuff. Well, guess what? They struggling with stuff as well. They just lying to themselves. That's all. Get your help. Why are you here? Because your help comes from the Lord. You've heard the word of God this morning. You've heard it. You've heard it. You've heard it. You're in your wilderness and you don't know which way to go. You need direction. God is trying to humble you in your wilderness. He wants to prove you. He wants to see what's in your heart. God is giving you wisdom right now. He's giving you worth right now. He's decreasing the weariness that you have in your life. And he's doing all that so you can worship him with all your heart. But you have to give it over right now. I can't make you give it over. I'm not going to fight you for your burdens, nor is God going to fight you for your burdens. You know, Peter says that you cast all your cares on the Lord because he cares for you. When your wilderness has assisted you in letting go of your burdens, then God knows that you truly trust him, because he knows that you know that he's going to take care of it in his due time. You've heard the word of God. If you believe what you've heard this morning, you're going to repent of your sins. You're going to repent of your sins. You're saying, God, I am ready to rid myself of me. I am tired of derailing my future. I am tired of derailing my present. I am tired of doing the same thing, and every time I expect something different to happen. I am tired of living paycheck to paycheck. I am tired of my bad children. You say, Rod, children ain't bad. Yes, they are. I'm tired of these bad children. I'm just tired of everything that I'm going through, and I'm giving it all to you right now, Lord. Confess that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Confess him. And then if you're not a member of the body, you're going to be baptized today. Oh, it's nothing like being a member of the Lord's body. It's nothing like going down into that watery grave of baptism. All those burdens are released from you. All that sin from your life is cleansed out of your life. You are now a new individual. Paul says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have become new. All things have become new in your life. Guess what? Your wilderness makes you new. Is there anybody that needs to be new today? If you need to be new, if you're not a member of the body, God can make you new today. Isaiah says that he wants to do a new thing in you. He wants to do something in you today. But if you're a member of the body, guess what? John says in 1 John 1:7, he says, if I walk in the light as he walks in the light, we will have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And that cleanse comes from a Greek word that means he will continue to cleanse you of all unrighteousness as long as you have a relationship. Church, if anyone needs to come forward, don't wait. Don't go back home the way you came here. We have time to hear the confession that you have on your heart. We have time to pray on your behalf. We have time if you desire to be baptized, because that's what we're here for. Guess what? We've only been here probably a little bit over an hour, and we'll sit for 3 hours and watch a football game. I tailgated for 10 hours yesterday. We were at the parade for 2-3 hours yesterday. Guess what? We have time for the Lord's work today. So if you need to come forward, please come forward as we stand and sing the hymn that's been selected.
Come from the lonesome way of sin.